Well, isn't that just the sweetest? So the one that gets me every time, the little guy who like goes, and the power, and like flexes, I just think that's great. It's so much fun to see the joy on those kids' faces as they pray that prayer. Now, how many of y'all here at Chesterfield, maybe at the sites, how many of you all have heard those words before? Yeah, you might have grown up, known it as the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. You might have memorized that prayer. That's my story. And even if that's not your story, maybe you're new to all this church stuff. Either way, friends, if those words are true, they change things. And you might not even know this, but the first person who prayed that prayer was Jesus. And it's Jesus who says that there is a God who invites us to call him Father. This God, he meets our needs each day. He helps us with temptation. He offers us forgiveness. It's his kingdom that's breaking into the world. Those are good words. And you know what? They're more than just words. They're truths that lead to a hope-filled life, a life that's more that we've been talking about all summer. Whether it's the word that Chris shared on joy or Angela when she was here, Jarrett, Kyra, we've had a great summer so far, haven't we? We have. And here's the thing. I want to go back to something that Kyra said last weekend. She said that we need to depend on God's presence through every circumstance, that he is the one who will sustain us through every season of life. And you know what? I think prayer is one of the best ways that God does that. So to kick off our conversation for today, I want to go back and look at the verse right before that famous prayer, which is always just a good rule of thumb. Like when you're reading scripture and you're reading a passage, especially when it's familiar, it's a good idea to back up and look at the context. So in Luke's gospel, which is just his account of Jesus' life, in Luke's gospel, we read this. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And what follows is a version of the words that we just heard. Now, at this point in Luke's gospel, the disciples, they've seen Jesus do some pretty awesome stuff. He's taught with authority. He's corrected the leaders. He's performed miracles, healing people, casting out demons. This is extraordinary supernatural stuff. And we really do believe in the supernatural. So if you have questions about that, come talk to us. We love having those conversations. But here's what I find fascinating. The disciples, they don't ask Jesus about any of that stuff. They're not asking him how to teach. They're not asking him how to perform miracles. No, they ask Jesus how to pray, which for me teaches us two things. One, prayer is important. It is. It is vital. If we want to live this life that's immeasurably more, like if we want to experience this life that's overflowing with grace and with hope, if that's the life we want to experience, then we have to pray. But here's where the second point comes in, because sometimes prayer is hard. It just is. That's why the disciples had questions about it. And I think if the disciples had questions, it's okay for us to have questions too, right? So tell you what, before we jump into this conversation on prayer, why don't we pray? Let's do what the disciples did. Let's go to Jesus and let's ask him to teach us. So Lord Jesus, we're doing that now. God, I am so thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for what you're doing in the crossing in our city and around this world. It is such a gift to partner with you. So God, just like the disciples before me, I ask now, Lord, show up now. Draw near, teach us. God, we want to know why prayer matters wherever we are on the spiritual journey. Show us why prayer matters for us. We ask all of this in your name, our Savior, our King, our Lord. Amen. All right. Well, hey, my name's Ben. It's so great to be with y'all here at Chesterfield. I want to say hello to everyone at the sites, Fenton, Mid Rivers, Grants Trail. Those of you worshiping with us online, it is good to be with you. I love being one of your pastors. I just do. It's one of my favorite things. I have a hand in spiritual formation at the Crossing, and what that means is I get to teach classes, I sit on the teams that help create these weekend worship experiences, and I have the privilege of sitting down one-on-one with you guys and talking through your questions. And I love it. It's one of my favorite parts of my job because I get to learn from you. We get to do this together. And like I said today, our question is all about prayer. That's what we're going to be talking about. And that question, it leads to other questions, right? Like, what happens if our prayers aren't answered how we want? Or what's the purpose of prayer? Have you ever asked questions like that? I have. And one of my favorite passages in the Bible when it comes to prayer is in the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the book of Philippians chapter 4. Now, Philippians, it's in the New Testament, a little bit ways in. But we're going to be in chapter 4. I'm going to start reading at verse 6. Here we go. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there is so much packed in these verses, especially when it comes to prayer. But before we get there, can I be honest about something? Like, we're in a church, right? I'm a pastor. It's generally a good idea for me to tell the truth. So here it is. There have been seasons in my life where I have wrestled with these verses. Because on the surface, they make sense, right? There is a God who invites us into a relationship with him. Because of that relationship, we don't need to be anxious. Instead, we can go to him, we can give thanks, we can bring him our requests, and in the end, he promises to give us peace. And I believe that's true, I do. And I have questions. Because how many times have we prayed to God and we didn't feel any peace? In fact, we're left feeling more frustrated because God didn't answer our prayers. Like, what do we do during difficult seasons like that? Or here's another one. I know we're supposed to be thankful that Jesus welcomes our prayers and he calls us to bring all of ourselves to him. We can bring it all, good or bad. He's big enough to handle it. I believe that. I love that. That is awesome. I am thankful for that. But while we're on the confession train, I don't always feel that way. There are seasons of my life where prayer has been a struggle, and I know I should be thankful, but at the same time, it's hard. It's hard. It's just hard. Now, why is that? What makes prayer hard? Tell you what, before we go any farther, let's talk to each other. If you're new to the Crossing, we do this from time to time. We like to talk to each other. And so I want you to turn to each other here and at the sites. Just talk about the reasons why prayer is hard for you. Now, maybe you're in a season where prayer's coming easily for you and it's great, but it probably hasn't always been that way. And if you're new to the church or new to faith, still asking questions, maybe you don't pray, you can say that too. We love that you're here. That is way okay. So turn to each other and take out your phone, go to the app. Tim said we were gonna use that today a couple times. So send us your responses and we'll keep on going. So talk to each other, use the app, sites too, all right? And then we'll keep going. Going to come back to your answers in just a little bit. And I know that conversation was short. I'm interrupting you. But we're going to look at your answers here in a minute. But can I share some of mine? Like, here are some of the reasons why I think prayer's hard. It's hard because we're easily distracted. Like, we have so many distractions. We have our phones. We have all these things going on. So that's hard. Maybe it's hard because we don't feel like God is there or God cares about us or God's listening to our prayers. There might even be some of us in this room or watching online who think that God doesn't exist. And you know what? I think that this passage in Philippians, it speaks to all of those things and more. But before we get at that, y'all gotta understand what's going on in this city of Philippi. So let me set the stage. Philippians, it's a letter written by the Apostle Paul. Now, we spent so much time last spring talking about Paul. He was one of the most important figures in the early church. He was this missionary, and he traveled around the Roman Empire, and he was telling people about Jesus. And Paul, he would go around setting up these little, like, pockets of Christian community. Now, we would call them churches. And Philippians, like the people there, like this is one of those communities. So they're in Philippians, Paul's writing them, they're in Philippi, Paul's writing them the letter, hence the title of the letter, Philippians. You got it? Yeah. Awesome. So one important thing y'all need to know about Philippi. It had a thriving pagan religious culture. There were Roman gods and goddesses. There were temples all over the place. It was one of the most important aspects of their culture, this pagan religious system. Now, reading Paul's letters, it's a lot like answering the phone, or like you're with someone and they're answering the phone in front of you, like a friend or a family member. You don't know everything that's going on in the conversation, but you do overhear some things. And based on what you overhear on your end, you can begin to piece together, like, what's going on? Why are they calling? Like, who's the person? That sort of thing. And the same is true for Paul and his letters. We can look at some of the things that he wrote, and then we can use these context clues to figure out what's going on in Philippi, who are these people, what are they struggling with? So, a couple of context clues. One, Paul loves these people. He loves them. Like, he is so thankful for them. He thanks God every time he remembers them. He prays for them. Like, Paul is so, so happy that together they get to share the gospel. He loves them. Paul calls these people his joy and his crown. Like, this is heartfelt language. Paul, he's a proud dad gushing over this Christian community that he helped start. So that's context clue number one. But a little bit later in chapter 1, we read this. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. So Paul loves these people, but these people are struggling. Now with what? We don't exactly know. Now, Paul does say that their struggles are his struggles, and we know that Paul spent a good bit of his life going around the Roman Empire being persecuted for the sake of Jesus. So I bet that struggle involved persecution. Now, do we know specifics about that persecution? No, but we know some things because of the history of the time. Like when you look at the first century world, if you were a worker, maybe you were a builder, a carpenter, a stonemason, you'd be a part of a group, a guild. And each guild had an assigned god or goddess. And in order to be a part of the group, you had to make regular sacrifices to that deity. If you refused to do that, you'd be kicked out. And what that meant was, is you couldn't use your trade to make money. So part of the persecution is that these Christians in Philippi, they couldn't provide for themselves or their family members. And it's more than that, because oftentimes these people were ridiculed, they were gossiped about, they were seen as outsiders. Sometimes this persecution got violent. They'd be beaten. They'd be thrown in jail. Sometimes even killed. So now are we starting to understand why Paul loves these people? Because the Philippian Christians, they're awesome. They're awesome. In the face of persecution and struggle, they are committed to the fact that Jesus is the one true Lord of the world, not the emperor, not some pagan deity. No, it's Jesus. It's him. And these people, they'd come to believe and place their trust in him, and they suffered for it. And Paul knew this. That's why Paul wrote the letter. He wanted to encourage them to just keep going, keep doing it, keep on following Jesus. And I bet they needed encouragement. Just imagine for a second that you are being persecuted for your faith. Your friends, your loved ones, your family members, they're being thrown in jail. They're being beaten. Like, this is happening. And maybe you're anxious, you're worried, you're wondering, God, am I going to be next? So you start to pray, Lord, make it stop. Protect us. Don't let this happen anymore. Make it stop. And over time, when it doesn't stop, do you wonder if the Philippian Christians were like asking questions if maybe God was still faithful, if he was gonna come through for them? I mean, they're suffering. They are crying out to God. They're putting their lives down on the line for him. And I'm not sure it feels like he's coming through. And Paul says in that moment, in the face of that persecution, just keep going. Just keep trusting, keep leaning into God, keep bringing your requests to him, and as you do that, you will experience his peace. So was Paul wrong? Was God not being faithful? I mean, why wasn't he answering their prayers? You see, I don't think those questions are much different from questions we ask today. No, we're not living in the first century world. We don't have a Roman pagan religious system with gods or goddesses. At least in the U.S., we're not facing that level of persecution. But I bet every single person in this room has longed for something desperately. And maybe you've prayed for it, and you've brought that request to God. Like you've applied for jobs, and nothing's panned out. Maybe it's a relationship. Like maybe you're thinking, oh my goodness, I'm the only single person I know. And I want God to send me my person. Maybe it's a relationship that for whatever reason isn't possible anymore, and you're grieving that loss. Maybe it's something with your health, your mental health. Maybe you're just sick of feeling sick and having to drive yet one more time to the hospital. I mean, maybe you're sick of feeling stuck. Maybe you're sick of feelings altogether. Whatever it is, fill in that blank. Has there been a time in your life where you have prayed for God to do something? Did he answer that prayer exactly how you want? Friends, listen, because there is a truth in this, and it might be hard to swallow, but I think it's vital when it comes to following Jesus. And here it is. I am convinced that the primary purpose of prayer isn't to have our prayers answered how we want. Now, does that mean that God doesn't answer prayer? Does that mean that he's indifferent to our sufferings and our longings? Absolutely not. Scripture says that God is close to those who are brokenhearted. God invites us to cast all of our anxieties on him because he cares for us. The God of the Bible, he's good, he's gracious, he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And it's because of that love that he builds answering our requests into his sovereign plan. But sometimes he answers in a way we don't expect. Sometimes the answer's not yet. And honestly, guys, sometimes the answer, it's just plain no. Now, Kyra, she gave us a perfect example of this last weekend. Jesus, he's at the Mount of Olives. He's praying to his Father. And he's asking him, is there any other way? Like, is there anything else we can do besides the cross to make things right? And guys, he's in distress. He is begging God, so much so that sweat like blood begins to drip off his face. Does the Father say yes to Jesus in that moment? Does he say, all right, son, we'll go to plan B? Is that what God says? No, he doesn't. God's answer to Jesus is no. You see, God was willing to send his son for us, that for those of us who believe in him, because he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, if we turn to him, we will find the eternal life we were created for. And Jesus knew this. He was willing to suffer and die for us. And what I love about Jesus in this story is that it pushes against the lie that has spread throughout the Big C church. And here's the lie. It goes something like, well, if I just pray the right way, if I just say the right words, then God will do what I want. Like, God's this cosmic, like, butler, and if I just have enough faith, he'll be obligated to answer my prayer in the way that I want. And you know what? It's just not true. Yes, God will do what he plans. Yes, his will be carried out. And there's a mystery here, but sometimes God's will involves allowing us to experience hard times. And that's all over scripture. If you're new to the Bible, you should look these names up. But Abraham, Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, David, Mary, all 12 apostles, Paul, even Jesus himself, every single one of them suffered. So why would it be any different for us? But as we experience these hard times, we can remember what Paul says in Romans, that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. Jesus says that in this life, we will face trouble. We will. Trouble is inevitable. But as we experience that trouble, we can take heart because he has overcome the world. And that means, guys, that as we navigate these difficult seasons of life, God truly is working all things for our good. And it leaves us with a hope that endures. That's why our prayers are never wasted. Because even when they're not being answered the way that we want, God is using them to make us more like Jesus right there. That's the purpose of prayer. Prayer, it's not about what God might do for us. No, prayer is about what God is doing in us. So we go to him in prayer and we make our requests, and all the while he molds us and he shapes us and he moves in close, he sustains us. No matter how we're feeling, the stress and the anger and the frustration and the doubt, we have all of these questions. And in the midst of those times, God whispers to us, I'm enough. I'm enough. You can trust me. That's what he did for Jesus before the cross. No, he didn't answer Jesus's prayer with a yes, but he did send his angels to strengthen him. So this is part of what the daily bread looks like from the Lord's Prayer. Like, yes, God will give us what we need. And sometimes what we need is our prayers answered how we want. Sometimes it's something we don't expect. And honestly, sometimes what we really need is God himself. We need his presence, period. So are you starting to see why prayer is such an essential part of following Jesus? Because God uses it to make us into who he's calling us to be, and he's teaching us to trust him every step of the way. And regardless of the outcome, why wouldn't we want to pray? Like, think about it. The all-powerful creator God of the universe, the one who spoke the cosmos into existence, that God, he welcomes our words. Why wouldn't we want to pray to him? Here's another confession from your friendly neighborhood pastor. Sometimes I take prayer for granted. And I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to get over the fact that my God wants to have a conversation with me, because that thought should leave me in awe. So, what were some of the reasons why you shared that make prayer hard? Y'all remember when I had you talk to each other? It's hard because it feels like God has let me hurt without reason. I get distracted. There's seemingly unanswered prayers. There's fear that I don't know if God's there, if I'm seeing him. How about, oh, this one's so honest. I feel like I sound dumb when I'm praying. Can I just go off script and speak to that one for a second? God doesn't need us to be overly fancy or eloquent with our words. No, he invites us to bring all of ourselves to him so we can bring these short, like these simple, like prayers to God. Maybe one way to think about it is prayer is this ongoing conversation between me and God. The Apostle Paul says that we're to pray without ceasing. And that means is this conversation's continuous. It's just bringing who you are. You don't need to say fancy stuff. You just talk to God the way you would talk to a friend. You have a conversation. So, Chesterfield, help me out here. What are some essential ingredients of a conversation? Like, what makes a conversation? What do you need? Who's got something? Listening. We're going to come back to that one in just a minute. That's awesome. Yeah, what else? Greeting. What?
Greeting.
Greeting. You got to start with hello. That's a great place to start a conversation, right? What else? Huh? Thank him. So we have a conversation. There's this thankfulness. Can we just go back to that listening point? Because for me, listening is one of the ways that we feel like we're present with people. There's nothing worse than having a conversation with someone, and for whatever reason, it doesn't feel like they're really there. So, like, Diego, come up here, man. You are one of our year-long residents.
Yes.
Which means that you've spent this entire, and you know what, we can sit down, we can get comfy, right?
I appreciate that, right?
Yeah, so you are one of our year-long residents, and you and I, we've talked a lot, and the whole point of that process is to help you clarify what God might be calling you to do in ministry. So you've done a bunch of different things around here in a bunch of different ministry areas, and through that time, God's clarified what he's calling you to do, which is?
Youth ministry.
Youth ministry?
Yes.
That's awesome, and that's also great news for, well, come on. I love the fact that there are people like Diego who want to keep pouring into our students. It's the best. And that's great news for us because we just hired you to be a part of our youth team, like full time, so you're going to see him here next year. We love that. And guys, here's just a side point about our residency. It has been so helpful for so many of us. Like, I'm a product of the residency. Other pastors, Joel Burke, Chris Nation, Tim Bounds, other staff people, all of us have been residents here at The Crossing. And Diego, you just went through it.
I did.
And
sure.
I was one of the people who got to walk closely with you through that process. Mm-hmm. And you and I, man, we have had a lot of conversations.
We have.
So here's the thing. I was thinking it'd be fun for us to just to do that right now, have a conversation. It's just like normal, except with everyone here at Chesterfield, the sites, and watching online, we're in front of like thousands of people. You cool with that?
Totally.
Okay,
totally.
Sweet. Good. So man, let me start by saying this. Diego, I think you're awesome, brother. It has been so great getting to know you. I love your heart for Jesus. I love how well you care for the students of this church. Man, you're servant-hearted. You're humble. Like, I think you're just an all-around great guy, man. You are awesome.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, so,
really
so
nice.
But okay, yep. So because I think you're so awesome, I need your help. Will you help me?
Absolutely, yeah.
Great. So next year, like ministry year, I'm thinking about leading a Bible study at some point. I don't know where to start. Can you, like, what's your favorite book of the Bible?
I love
so, this. Okay, yep. So while we're on the subject of helping me, it's just been kind of a crazy week in the Horseman House. So we got this fence put in, and with that came these temporary gates. And my wife was out of town, and our dog escaped from one of those gates, which, by the way, it's a general good, you know, rule to not lose the dog when your wife goes out of town, right? So the dog escapes, so I'm freaking out. I'm scrambling to find him. I get him back. Now, thankfully, one of our really kind neighbors posts a picture of him, like, where he was on our Facebook, like, neighborhood group, which was so nice of him. But I was feeling embarrassed, and, like, not only that, but my asthma has been so bad this week. I am struggling.
Really sorry to hear about that, Ben. I'm sure it's stressful. I'm sure there's a lot of things going on. And
so, as Diego sits back down, and thank you so much, brother. What was wrong with that conversation? It was one-sided? What else? One-sided? No listening? I was speaking over him? I was interrupting? Here's the thing, friends. Too often, I think this is what our prayer lives look like. We start to thank God for things, but before, like, he can even show up and say something to us, we quickly move on to our struggles. And then we share our struggles. We let God know what's going on, but we're not really giving him any time to respond. And if we are listening, we're not really listening because we're just scrolling through our phones. Here's the thing. If prayer is an ongoing, dynamic, back and forth conversation between me and God, then I have to listen. You have to listen. Prayer is us bringing our requests to God and then listening for God to respond. And you might be thinking, yeah, I get it, but Ben, a conversation with Diego is completely different than a conversation with God. And you know what? You're right. Point taken. I can see Diego. I can, you know, hear his voice. If I want to, I can give him a high five. And I've never heard the voice of God. But God does speak to me. He speaks to me through this book, the Bible. He speaks to me through trusted friends, other believers. God speaks to me through nudges and gut checks from the Holy Spirit. You see, when it comes to God speaking to us, in my experience, that's how it works. Now, I do know people who have heard an audible voice, and if that's you, praise God for that. What a gift. But one caution as your pastor, always compare that voice to what we see in Scripture, because God will never contradict what he has already said in this book. But even with that, you might still be thinking, all right, Ben, conceptually I understand. I get it. Yes, prayer is this back and forth conversation with God. And yes, that conversation should leave me in awe. I should go to God in prayer. I should bring my requests, and I should trust that they matter even when it doesn't feel like it, that God is using them. But you know what? I'm stuck. I feel angry, like I understand, and I'm frustrated because I want God to answer my prayer. I don't know what to do. I'm sick of feeling this way. I'm sick of feeling like He doesn't care about me. Well, start there. Tell Him that, and then keep telling Him and see how He shows up. You see, I think there's a reason why Jesus begins the Lord's Prayer the way that He does. He starts it with the words, "Our Father." And I understand that our relationships with our earthly dads can be complicated for some of us. But no matter where you are today, whether you have a good relationship with your dad or not, you need to know that there is a God who loves you completely. Now, this one God is revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so you can pray to all of them. But what Jesus says in the Lord's Prayer is that there is a God who invites us to call Him Father. This whole idea of God as Father, it's taken on new meaning for me recently, because on February 10th of this year, my wife Becca and I, we welcomed our sweet baby girl, Haley Jean Horstman, into the world. And thank you. I love that girl, but the start of it all, it wasn't what we expected. There were some complications, so she came about 6 weeks early. We had to spend a little bit over a month in the NICU, and I'm not going to go into details, but Becca and I, we had some raw, honest, tearful conversations in that hospital room together. We did. But praise God, we got to bring our baby girl home. And I know that that's not everybody's story. And I know that there are those of you here who have navigated loss. There are people that I've seen walk through seasons of infertility with grace and with dignity and with hope. And you know what? I recognize what a gift my baby girl is. I do not take her for granted. And I love her so much. There is not a thing in this world that I wouldn't do for that girl. My love for her is not going to go away. And you know what? Those of you who have been parents for a long time, here come all the cliches, right? I'm for her. I'm on her team. I want her to flourish. I mean, just look at the face. Whatever she needs. It's like, yep, you got it, baby girl. And if there's one thing that parenthood has taught me over the last 5 months, it's this. I'm a broken human. I just am. Like, being a dad, it's a lot like having a mirror held in front of you, and you just see your flaws and your shortcomings and your sin, your impatience, just over and over again. Now, I'm not telling you that so you feel sorry for me or you throw me a pity party. I'm telling you that to call out that even me in my brokenness, I want what's best for our kid. And if that's true for me, how much more is it true for our Heavenly Father? Jesus puts it like this: which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Do y'all pick up on Jesus's humor here? Even imperfect parents know to love and give good gifts to their kids. And our Heavenly Father will do that for us and in abundance. He's able to do increasingly more than we could ask or imagine. But one more time, sometimes the gift He gives us, it's not what we prayed for. Sometimes daily bread looks like God giving us Himself, trusting that He will sustain us. As we lean into Him, He will give us His peace. So as we turn the corner and head for home, we wanted to give everyone here and online and at the sites an opportunity to pray, to present our requests to God. So here's what's gonna happen. We're gonna start settling our rooms. We're gonna make this a safe place to pray. And I want y'all to pull out your phones and go to our app. There's gonna be a place there for you to type in your prayer requests. Now, please don't use any specific details. God knows all those. And this is completely anonymous. So send those in right now. And in just a moment, I want us to pray for each other. That's part of how God calls us to do this together. So on the screens here and at the sites, you're gonna see those prayer requests start coming up on the screen. And if you feel the Holy Spirit nudge you, pray for that person. If you want to, take out your phone. Maybe take a picture and pray for them this week. If you don't see your request, know this, every single thing submitted is gonna be given to our prayer teams, and they will bombard the throne of heaven with your prayers. If you're still asking questions about Jesus, maybe your prayer is, God, if you're real, show up. Show me why I can believe. Give me an action step. I'm telling you, Jesus loves answering those prayers. If you want a pastor to pray for you, come find us. It'll be our honor. And as you're sending in those requests right now, let me share this. Last confession of the day. As much as I love being a dad, parts of these last few months, they've been hard. They've been frustrating. And this too is a part of parenting, right? So I remember this time I was trying to get Haley down to sleep and nothing I was doing was working. And trust me, I went through that new dad checklist. She had a full belly, a clean diaper, I burped her, I rocked her, and nothing worked. She is screaming bloody murder and I don't know what to do. So eventually I just start pacing around her room and I am praying to God. I'm begging him, Lord, please help her fall asleep. Please, please, please help her fall asleep. And she's yelling and she's screaming bloody murder in my ear. And I just start whispering into hers, it's okay, Haley, baby. I love you. I'm here. Daddy's got you. You're safe. Nothing's gonna happen. You're safe. I love you. I'm here. Your daddy's got you. Friends, that's what our Heavenly Father says to us. During those difficult moments where it doesn't feel like our prayers are being answered, he reminds us that he's there, that he loves us. And yes, we bring our requests to him, but God gives us himself. And he wraps his arms around us and he tells us that he is enough. You know what? I need that reminder sometimes, so let me give it to you now. Jesus is enough. He is. So we go to him and we pray and we experience his peace. You see, peace doesn't depend on everything like just suddenly being okay or our problems being taken away or God answering our prayers how we want. No, God's peace, his shalom, comes from leaning into him through every circumstance, through every season. We remember how Jesus taught his disciples to pray and he says, here's where you start. You start with our Father. So we go to him. We lean into him and we experience a peace that passes all understanding, a peace so good we can't even fully wrap our minds around it. Does anybody else want that peace? Then pray. I had a seminary professor say that when you pray, you should pray with your palms open because you never want to be holding on so tightly to what you think you want that you don't have a free hand to receive what God wants to give you. So now, palms open, leaning into the presence of our Father. Will you pray with me? Our Father who art in heaven, I am so thankful that you hear the words of these prayers, God, even as we pray them silently. And you don't only just hear these prayers, you hear the prayers that we sent in now. So Lord, as we turn our faces to the screen here at Chesterfield and at the sites, Lord, let us be a people who pray for each other. It is a privilege to bring everything to you and pray in prayer. So God, let us pray for each other now. Lord, hear our prayers.
And I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. Breathe deep and know that he is good. He's a love like no other. Yes, you are. And I will lean back in the loving arms of a beautiful Father. I will breathe deep and know that he is good. He's a love like no other. How you care, how you love, how you care.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, we're going to keep bringing our requests to God. If you want to stay and keep praying over these requests as they keep rising up, feel free to do that. If you need to go, that's way okay. Just be respectful as we keep this room a safe place to pray. If you want a pastor to pray for you, come on, we'd love to do that. But remember that there is a heavenly Father who loves you, and he will give you his peace.